All right, I want all the children to join me up here. If you consider yourself a child, join me up here. All right, and get in line behind Beckett. All right, I want you to follow Beckett. Beckett, go. Okay, follow Beckett. All right, keep following. Go up here, and then you guys can sit. All right, good job. Okay, so do you do that at school? Do you have to follow the leader? You guys line up and have to follow the leader at school?
Yes.
Yeah? So today, Beckett was your leader, and you followed him, and he led you just all around into a circle. Now you're back where you started, right? But you were good followers. We big people have been talking about a Bible verse from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is a book, it's actually a letter that was written. It was written to a church in Ephesus. That's a city. And that church was a lot like our church. It had old people. It had people that were kind of old. And then it had kids. It had kids in it. I know it had kids in it because Paul, in his letter, he writes a special message just for the kids. But before he does that, he tells us all that we have to follow the leader. That God has put people in the church as leaders, and we follow them. And he's put people in the family, and he's made them leaders, and we follow them. Just like you did around the when you followed Beckett around here. We have to follow leaders. So I want us to talk about specifically what leader you guys are going to follow. All right? And Keaton, can you read for me? Do we have the handheld mic? Is it available? Or I can just grab actually Adri's mic too. Yeah, I'll do that. All right, so Keaton is going to read a verse, a couple verses from the Bible. So this is Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. All right, so listen to this. This is the message Paul wrote for you guys. Not for the big people, just for the little people. Or kids. Some of you are big kids. All right. Keith.
Obey your parents and believe in the Lord. Obey them because it's the right thing to do. Scripture says, honor your father and mother. That is the first commandment that has come. Then things will go well with you. You will live a long time on the earth. Fathers, don't make your children angry. Instead, train them and teach them the ways of the Lord.
Good job, Keith. Thank you. So, I want you to realize this first. Paul is writing to kids. Do you know what that means? He thinks you're really important. He thinks you're an important part of the church. You know, we're the church, right? We're a bunch of people that join together, and we call ourselves Westside Chapel. And we get to sing about Jesus and learn about Jesus. But Paul thinks that you guys are really special and an important part of the church. I want you to remember that. Because he's writing this just to you. So, who does Paul, in this verse that Keaton just read, who does he say that you're supposed to follow?
The parents.
Parents. Good job. You were listening. Good job. So you're supposed to follow your parents. So how do children follow their parents?
Listen.
That's a good way.
By when they tell you something, you really do it.
That's good. When they tell you to do something, you do it. You obey. Yeah. Yeah. What? There was another word that was used in this passage. Do you remember it? Obey was one of them. And you guys were just talking about that. Obey. Do what they say. What was the other word?
Honor.
Honor. Good. So honor, what does that mean? Somebody tell me what honor means. If you're supposed to honor your parents, you got to know what it means, right? You know what obey means. Do what they say. What does honor mean? Anybody? That's a hard one, huh? I think that it means that when you obey him, you do it with a good attitude. Yeah, that would be part of it. That'd be part of it. Do you know what a good attitude, what I mean by that?
Yeah,
so when they ask you to do something, you do it with a good attitude. Okay, so you're supposed to obey and honor. How do children obey and honor their parents? It says in 6:1, can you read that again for me? I want you, why do you obey and honor them? Read this that again for me, Keith.
Children, obey your parents as believers in the Lord. Obey them because it's the right thing to do.
Okay, so why? Why do you obey them?
Because it's the right thing to do.
Right thing to do. You're good at listening and speaking. So it's the right thing to do. Okay, so I told Beckett that I needed his help. Okay, so I've got an apple here. And you, when you have a children's sermon, you always should bring a knife, right? So I have a knife. All right, so Beckett is going to chop this apple in half. Okay, so I want you to hold it just like this.
It's upside down.
Okay.
It's upside down.
Okay, cut it. It's hard to cut, isn't it? Okay. I'm using it the wrong way, huh? Okay. Oh, that worked, huh? Okay, so tell me again, why didn't it work the first time? So I was using it wrong, right? All right. Okay, so there's a right way to use this knife and a wrong way, right? Well, that's the same with family. God made family, and there's a right way for family to interact, and there's a wrong way. The right way is
obey.
To obey your parents. Yeah, that's the way God made it.
And to do it right.
And to do the right thing. That's good. Yeah, so it works. Family works best when you do that. When you do, there's a right way and a wrong way. And so God's saying, hey, it's the right way when you obey and you honor your parents. All right, then there was another part in that passage that talks about how things will go really well for you if you obey your parents. You know what it's saying there? It's saying that it's good for you to obey your parents. You know that? It's not just right, it's good for you. Okay, so I got something else for you. So who took their vitamins this morning? Yeah? Who wants vitamins? Anybody allergic to vitamins? Is there an allergy to vitamins? Yeah. Okay. I think I have enough. All right. So what I want you to do is pass these around. So take one and pass them around.
Just like dump it out on
everything. All right, you don't want to get sick, do you? You're smart. All right, there. All right, can you just take one and pass them around? Okay, so why do we take vitamins?
So you don't get sick.
So you don't get sick? Yeah? Anybody else? Why do we take vitamins?
So you don't get a cough.
So you don't get a cough? Yeah? I saw a hand right over there. So you had good answers there. We take vitamins because they're good for us, right? They're good for you. Well, when you obey and honor your mom and dad, it's good for you. Things go better. You're happier. Your mom and dad are happier. Have you ever noticed that? That when you obey your parents, they seem like they smile a little more. When you disobey them, do you ever see that they start to look a little sad? And don't you kind of look a little sad too when you start disobeying your parents, don't you? So it's right, and it's good for you to obey your parents. Did everybody that wants one get one?
Yeah.
So I want you to remember this. Obey your parents because it's right and it's good for you. But it says to do this in the Lord. I want to remind you again that you can have relationship with Jesus. You can be Jesus' friend. And I know that some of you understand that. You get that. Your friend is Jesus. But Jesus helps you to obey and honor. Because it's hard to obey and honor sometimes, isn't it? Do you have a hard time obeying and honor? Some of the big people, they are being honest. And they say, it's hard. It's hard to obey. Do you know what you can do when you have a hard time obeying?
Pray.
That's good. Yeah, you talk to God. God is never going to ask you to do something and not give you help. Do you understand that? He's never going to ask you to do something and then not give you help. And remember I told you this was in a letter to a church in Ephesus, in a church just like us with big people and small people. And we're told that if you believe in Jesus, that he has a helper that lives in you, the Holy Spirit. And when you have trouble obeying and honoring your parents, you just say, God, could you help me? Can you do that for me? You're gonna have some opportunities, maybe even before the service is done, to obey and honor your parents. And if you're having a hard time doing that, I want you to talk to God about it and say, Jesus, would you help me? Can you do that for me? Okay, so I want to end with praying for you. Because I want the Holy Spirit to help you as you try to obey and honor your parents. All right? So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for each one of these kids. I thank you for how you know each of them and you love them and you like these kids, that you take delight in each of these kids. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that you know how many hairs are on their heads. You care about them as much as their parents love them. You love them even more. And so I pray that they would know that today, that they know that they're an important part of your church, and that they would talk to you a lot. And especially when they're having a hard time obeying and honoring, I pray that you would give them help. And I pray that they would be reminded that they can talk to you when they're having a hard time. So I give these children to you, and I ask that you would work in their hearts and lives just like you're working in us big people. And I love you, Lord, and I love that you love children. You really love children. And so I hope that they feel that today, your love and our love for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so you can go back to your seats. If you are ages, I guess all of these kids, basically, right? Yeah, so you can go with Miss Adri in the back there. And I heard somebody wanted to sing again. You're going to get to sing again. You're going to go sing with Miss Adri. They're preparing for a song for Christmas season. Well, this passage of scripture that we just looked at is addressed to the kids, but it's also addressed to the parents and to big people. And I know that not everyone in the room is a parent, and yet this passage of scripture is in the context of Ephesians. And we talked about how Ephesians is a message to the church on how to be the church, instructions on how to be the church. And so it addresses all of us. It addresses the old, the young. It addresses those who are married. It addresses those who aren't married, those who are kids. It addresses parents. And so I think that there's something in this passage for all of us, regardless of where we're at in life right now. And so we're going to look at what it says to the parents in just a moment. I want us to go to the Lord again and just pray. And I'm going to ask for, is Kayo here? Yeah, if you could, you come up and we'll read it in Rade and we'll read it in English again. Yeah, you can come up and I'll pray and then you can read. Yeah, let's read the whole little part. Let me pray first. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these verses here, and I just pray that as we meditate on them, as we think through them, that you would encourage us as both kids and as parents, and that you would use them in our lives to draw us to yourself and to make us a healthier body, a healthier church, as we embrace all that you have in this passage for us. In Jesus' name. Ephesians 6:1 in English says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Before we look at the part that is specifically addressed to parents, I want us to go back and look again at what Paul says to the children, because it has implications for us as parents also. First off, I think it's amazing that Paul addresses children. In this letter, he addresses children specifically. He doesn't say, parents, go tell your children this. He's understanding that there are children in the body of Christ, that when they read this letter, which they did, they would read it to the church. Paul understands, he's understanding that there are children in their midst. And so I think that's something to ponder. Because if Paul is writing to children, he believes that children can hear from God. That they can hear from God. And if Paul is writing this in God's word, God must also believe that children can hear from God, that they can hear his voice. I remember back in the early 90s, I spent some time in the Ukraine, and we did children's camps during that time. And we would have kids in the summer come, and we would tell them about Jesus, and then we would teach them about praying and about reading God's word and about sharing their faith. And it transformed the way I thought about children, because I saw these children, once they understood who Jesus was, and they understood what prayer was and his word was, I saw these kids hearing from God and getting a heart for other people that didn't know about Jesus. I remember we were praying at one point, and we were praying for the world, and we were teaching them how to pray for places in the world that didn't know about Jesus. And one of the kids, he got this picture in his head. He said, "I have this picture of the world." And I don't remember exactly all that he said, but it was a vision from God that God had given to this kid to teach him how to pray for the children and pray for the people of the world. And it just drove home for me that kids can hear from God. God can use kids just like he can use any of us adults. And I think it's important for us to realize the potential of faith and hearing from God and being used by God that our children have. We often say that they're the church of the future. And really, Paul writing to them in this passage tells us that they're also the church of today. It's also worth noting, looking back at what he tells the children, is that this is in the context of a passage on submitting. So Ephesians 5:21 says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." And it's worth noting that Paul is assuming that parents are their children's leader, that he has given them a God-given authority to speak into their lives, to lead them. If you look at human culture, if you look at our culture, you see some extremes along the way that we parent. You see, not as prevalent in our culture. You see this in other cultures more, but you do see it somewhat, where there's more of a father figure or a parent figure that's more of a dictator. You know, they say, "You've got to do what I say. Do it now." And that was the case in Roman times. Not as if there weren't good fathers, but across the board there was this understanding that fathers kind of had, they were kings. They were the king of their house. And to the extent that by law they could, if they saw it fit, they could have their kid executed. They had that kind of jurisdiction. The extreme, though, is when a mother or father has an authoritarian, harsh kind of, "Do what I say because I said to do it." without care or concern for their child. The other extreme, and you see this a lot more in our culture, I think, is that you see that the parent and the child are either equals or the child is kind of leading the family. They're kind of going along with whatever the kid wants. And this passage makes it clear that the parent is the authority figure, that God has set them up as the leader of their family. Now, it says fathers specifically in this passage. And there's places in the scripture where when we translate, we're translating from one language into another, right? And so it doesn't translate exact. But the word father here does mean father. But in the context, the Greek could be used to mean father or father and mother. And the context here definitely shows us that this isn't just the fathers. This is fathers and mothers that are being spoken to. So if the parent has been given authority by God, how do they lead and use that authority? Now, Paul starts off by telling us what parents shouldn't do. Parents shouldn't do this. He says, mothers and fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. This isn't the idea of you doing the right thing and your child getting upset with you, because that happens. If someone is disciplined, whether it's done right or wrong, it often ends with a child being upset. It's not talking about that. It's also not talking about a teenager, which is common for a teenager to roll their eyes at their corny dad or whatever, you know, that their dad tells silly jokes and they're embarrassed by their dad or their mom. It's not talking about that. The key word here is don't provoke. When the parent is using their authority without respect for the child as an image bearer, as a person, a unique individual created by God in God's image. So what are ways that parents can misuse his or her authority and make the child angry? This is provoke them to anger. I'm just going to put out a few. But as I look at this passage, I said this last week as we looked at the passage on husbands and wives, I feel inadequate. I feel this passage convicts me. It brings things to my heart that it shows me where, oh man, I'm falling short in this area. And it is to be understood that none of us are going to do it perfect. But these are God's heart for the family. This is God's heart for the family and how we interact with our kids. And he starts off by saying, don't provoke them to anger. How does that happen? How do we do that? Well, one way is through a lack of self-control. Now, as you look at this passage and what is asked, parenting is a lot about teaching your children to show self-control. And I found myself in this place where I'm telling my kids to stop yelling, and I'm yelling at them, you know? Where I'm asking them to show control, but I'm not showing control. And the important part of parenting is that we are teaching them to show self-control. And so if we're not showing self-control ourselves, it would be natural for them to become angry. Another thing that can lead to or provoke anger within our children is unclear expectations. Either expecting too much of a child that is too young to be expected of certain things, or expecting too little of an older child, or not clearly explaining what we expect of our children. You know, to get upset with them for something that we've never completely explained to them, to have a wrong expectation of them. Another thing that can provoke our children to anger is not letting them be themselves. Remember, they're unique humans. They're unique in their personality and their desires and their giftings. And we need to be careful not to expect them to act or respond exactly how we would respond. I think this is common as parents, that we can expect them to act like we act. And sometimes this can lead to favoritism, where we show favoritism towards certain kids who act not like we like love them more, but they respond like us. So we attribute that to that they're really hearing what we're saying. And that's not always the case. We can provoke our children to anger when we humiliate them, when we parent them and we discipline them and make them feel stupid, try to manipulate their emotions. So parents are not to provoke the child to anger. We're not to forget that they're image bearers, that God has entrusted them into our care, but they are unique individuals. So what are parents to do? This passage says that parents are to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. To bring them up. This word in the Greek embodies nurture. It embodies love, affection for that person that you are bringing discipline and instruction to. John Calvin translated it, "Let them be fondly cherished. Deal gently with them." The idea is that even in discipline, the child knows that they are loved. In discipline, so bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Instruction. This has to do with training them through what we say, verbal instruction. Teaching them verbally what it means to please the Lord specifically. I think a huge part of doing that is exposing our children to the Word of God. Either reading it to them or encouraging them as they get older and can read to read it for themselves. And that it's not just about a bunch of principles, but it's about knowing the person who, the God who wrote this book, that he can be known and that they can have a relationship with him. Discipline. This word is correction that is training them in the ways of God. And it's never an ends in and of itself. It's the idea, the same word is used in Hebrews 12 when it says that God the Father disciplines us as his children, just like a earthly father disciplines his children because it's for their own good. That's always in mind in godly discipline, that it's for the good of the child. It's not for our good, it's for the good of the child. Implied in this is the use of punishment. Punishment is an important part of discipline. Consequences. We already talked about how we don't punish in anger. But the Proverbs say that if we spare the rod, we spoil the child. When we punish our children, we teach them the consequences of their actions. And this is important. Part of what we're trying to teach them is how to be adults eventually. And there are consequences for our actions. And so early on, part of what we are encouraged to be a part of is providing those consequences in a controlled environment. This can be hard at times. And I've heard it said, and it is biblical that if we don't punish, it's not the loving thing to do. If we just let our children, if we just spoil our children and we don't let them, we don't have to provide those consequences, that is not love. And yet I understand that it is hard sometimes to discipline our children. It's either inconvenient or I remember with Ansley, my youngest little girl, that it was just different between daddy and daughter and daddy and sons. And I remember like when she got to the age where I felt it was appropriate for us to spank her, that I would tell her, like, you better stop or your mom's gonna spank you. I got past that, but I understand that sometimes it's hard to discipline our children. And yet part of what we are doing is for their own good. Now, I know we have quite a few parents, and we also, because it's Thanksgiving, we have their children here too, some of them. Parents who have grown children. And this passage specifically speaks to children who are dependents, I believe. That the way that Paul is writing to these children, they're children who are under the care of their parents still. And yet, what transcends, what goes beyond this passage is that all of us are called to provide honor to our parents. I think it's the obedience piece that kind of changes in time. And so in some ways, this passage doesn't directly speak to, beyond just honor and respect, principles for dealing with grown children. And yet it is worth noting, if we look at Scripture, that God is a father. And how does He parent His children? Much of the Scriptures are written from the perspective of a father, the perspective of Father God. And they're written to us as children, but in many ways, they're written to us as adult children. And I think that's worth noting and worth studying as we seek to parent children of all ages. You read passages like the passage of the prodigal son, and you see that the father in that story, he let his child experience the full weight of the consequences. He didn't rescue him. He didn't cut his child off. He let his child experience the full weight of those consequences. And I think that's a good passage for parents with older children to study, the prodigal son. I think it's a good passage for parents with smaller children even to study. We see from the prophets, the messages from the prophets, where God refers to himself over and over again as a father. And yet, as a father, he doesn't take responsibility completely for the decisions of his children. There's at a certain point, it's the child's decision, and he lets it be that, although he's calling them back to himself. We also see from Scripture that there is a specific juncture with marriage where Scripture makes it clear that a husband and wife become their own unit. And it's important for parents with grown children to recognize that distinction, that God has created an authority structure within that family, and not to seek to interfere in that. I think of a story of my grandparents that I heard where my grandma and my granddad got in a fight like close to when they first got married. And my grandma got so upset that she left. And her mom lived in town. And she went to her mom's house. And she said, "I'm going to stay the night here. I'm just mad at Reed." And her mom said, "No, you're not. No, you go back home and you fix it. You work it out." I think she did the right thing. She didn't interfere. She could have put herself in the middle of their relationship. And she chose not to. She chose to let them work it out. And they had an amazing marriage, and so I think she did the right thing. But again, this passage doesn't specifically speak to parents with grown children, and I know we also have grandparents in this room too, and I know it's a grandparent's prerogative to spoil their children, their grandchildren, in ways they didn't treat their children, and so I won't go there today. But if the grandparent is raising the child, there is certain, this passage does apply to them in that regard. I think at the end of the day, it's worth recognizing that God has handpicked you to be your child's parent. It's also worth recognizing that you're going to fail, or you already did. And when you fail, apologize. When you see it, apologize. You're going to fail. And it's also worth noting that God Himself is a Father. And we need to look to Him for guidance on how to be fathers and mothers. To study how He does it. How He interacts with us. so that we can look at his behavior and implement it in the way that we treat our children. So, again, this is a passage that speaks specifically to parents. So some of you may not have fallen into this category yet, or maybe never. And part of what this passage does show us is that the body of Christ is to look like a family. That we are a family. And some of the principles in which we see within a mother, a father, and their children are the same ways that we treat each other and the respect we show towards one another and the submission that we show towards one another in that regard. But let's go to the Lord, and specifically, would you join me? We're going to close with this. Let's pray for our parents. And would you join me in that prayer? I'm going to pray, but you join me in that prayer. Because it's not the easiest thing to be in the world, is to be a parent. And yet, God has ordained it. So, Lord Jesus, we come before you, and I pray for... There's diversity even in this room as far as parents. We have diversity in this room as far as some of us were raised in single parent families, and then we have the whole gamut, and yet you have called each of us to pay attention to this calling, this high calling, to be a parent. And I pray that you, first off, would just give us a sense of peace in the areas where we may feel like we're blowing it or we've blown it, that we would be humble, but that we would give that to you. I thank you that you're a father to us, Lord. Father us first. And then I pray for us as those who are in the midst of parenting little ones, to those who are parents of grown children, that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us strength, Lord, that you would show us how to parent our kids, the uniqueness of each of our kids, that we would love them, and that you would give us patience, that you would give us self-control. We need you, Lord. We need you in our families. We know that families are such an important part of what it means to be a body of Christ, to be a church. Healthy families make up a healthy church. And so I just pray that you would encourage us this day. And as we go forward even into this week, that you would empower us through your Holy Spirit. Just like the children, we want them to ask for help when they need it. We ask for help. Help us as we parent our children, both those that are in the home and those that are out, have grown and are adults now. And give us wisdom and strength in your most powerful name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.